Good evening and happy Sabbath to everyone who's joining. This is the 11th study of the Judgment Day series. This is a bonus study because we said originally that it would be 10. Now, because there's several other things that we would like to cover and there was a lot of questions, it's actually going to have a couple more bonus studies. Now, we're going to be switching from the initial opening of the judgment to now the closing of the judgment. So different emphasis here, but still talking about Judgment Day. Now, today's topic is about the shaking. For those who haven't been here before, this is the first time joining us. Welcome. Thank you for being here. And please make sure, if possible, that everyone has their Bible. This is a live Bible study, and you are able to ask your questions live, put them in the chat, whether it's below, on this side, on that side, wherever it is. Put your questions there, and we'll do our best at the end of the study to answer as many of the questions as we can. Now, what is Judgment Day? Just to remind everyone, Judgment Day is a documentary series that we're working on, and this is a study series to go over some of the topics. Now, tonight, we're talking about the shaking. This is the start of the conversation about the judgment of the living, but not only the shaking, we're going to be talking about the latter rain over the next couple studies. We're going to be talking about the loud cry, and we're going to be talking about the sealing and the fourth angel's message. Judgment Day is a look through the three angels' messages, the true three angels' messages. And I use that term very particularly because there is a false understanding of the true three angels' messages. And we talked about that in some of the earlier studies. Now, we've been going in order from when the first message was given all the way to the third. Now we're working our way up to the fourth. And you can look up, there's a quote in Life Sketches, page 429, that says that we need to be proclaiming the messages in their order. So that's exactly what we're doing here, is we're trying to do and give the message that was given and how it was given in its order. And also, those who haven't been part of the Three Angels' message, the original giving of the Three Angels' messages, need to go back to those who had the experience. And this is from, let me just check the reference here. I believe it's Spiritual Gifts, Volume 1, page 75. And this is explaining that we have to go back to those who had the experience of giving the literal first, second, and third angel's message. And as Jesus was crucified, these messages have been crucified. So people aren't going to like this. And now this kind of leads into our topic today of the shaking. What is the shaking? When is it going to start? Has it already started? And how can we be sure that we will not be shaken out? So before we begin, let's bow our heads for a word of prayer, and then we're going to get right into the study. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you so much that the people are here today and we have our Bibles on this Sabbath. There's no better way to be spending time than with you. Lord, give wisdom. Help it to be your word said and not my own. Lord, help people to see past me and just to see the references, the quotes, the Bible texts and things that they can see the truth. Lord, give us eye salve so that we can see and that we not be blind. Lord, guide us, give us understanding on this true shaking that is going to take place in Jesus' name. Amen. So we have all these different topics, and it looks like a lot. We have the latter rain, we have the loud cry, the shaking and sealing, and the fourth angel's message. How do all these things connect together? That's exactly what we're going to see over the next couple studies. And what does this have to do with Judgment Day? Well, we kind of mentioned that we talked about the opening of the judgment, And that started with the judgment of the dead, the people who have died. The judgment has started. Now, at some point, that judgment is going to transfer from the dead over to the living. Now, when it does that, that is a very critical point in history for us to note. So we want to make sure that we understand, when is this starting? When is the sealing starting? When is the judgment of the living starting? And does it have anything to do with the fourth angel's message? Now I'm going to start here in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, 1 to 3. Now we beseech you, brethren, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, and by our gathering together unto him, that ye be not soon shaken. There's that word. In mind, or be troubled, neither by spirit, nor by word, nor by letter, as from us, as that the day of Christ is at hand. Now, here's the thing. Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come except there come a falling away first. So what is going to come before the day of Christ? Well, there's going to be a shaking and there's going to be a falling away. This is something. Early Writings, page 119. I saw that the remnant were not prepared for what is coming upon the earth. Stupidity, like lethargy, seemed to hang upon the minds of most of those who profess to believe that we are having the last message. So if we say we have the last message, this is what we're doing, we're proclaiming the last message, but we're not ready, what's the problem? My accompanying angel cried out with awful solemnity, get ready, get ready, get ready. For the fierce anger of the Lord is soon to come. His wrath is to be poured out unmixed with mercy. And ye are not ready. Rend the heart and not the garment. A great work must be done for the remnant. For the remnant. That is very interesting. Now, who's participating in this shaking? What is being shaken? And who is the group of people that are being shaken? And what is being shaken out? Well, it must have something to do with the remnant and them not being ready. It must have something to do with the last message. It says, get ready, get ready, get ready, because the fierce anger of the Lord is coming. This should start giving bells in your mind. Now, what is the fierce anger of the Lord? I'm just going to turn quickly here. To Revelation 16. If you have your Bibles, please say amen in the chat. If you have your Bibles, please say amen. Revelation 16 and verse 1. And I heard a great voice out of the temple saying to the seven angels, go your ways and pour out the vials of the wrath of God upon the earth. This is God's fierce anger that is not mixed with mercy. And this is going to cause a time of trouble such as never was. And this is the close of probation. Now, before we get ahead of ourselves, we're going to walk systematically through this. We're going to go here, and it says, I asked the meaning of the shaking I had seen. I'm sure all of you are wondering, what is the shaking? And what does it mean? And how can I avoid it? And was shown that it would be caused by the straight testimony. Very interesting. The shaking is going to be caused by the straight testimony. Well, that doesn't seem very good, but aren't we supposed to give a straight testimony? Because it says here, called forth by the counsel of the true witness. So the true witness, which is who? That's Jesus, says that we should give a straight testimony, but the thing that Jesus is saying is going to cause a shaking. If the three angels' messages that we're giving right now in all of our churches isn't causing a shaking, maybe it's not the three angels' messages. Maybe it's not the true three angels' messages. Now, there's also another point in here that we have to emphasize. It says, called forth by the counsel of the true witness to who? The Laodiceans. Now, who's the Laodiceans? Well, that's obviously the people in the church. But they're not the liberals in the church, unfortunately. This is the conservatives, the ones, you know, some of us might think of ourselves as conservatives, and we, you know, believe in victory over sin, and we eat right, and we do these things, and we study our Bible. But it talks about Laodicea, that they think they have it all put together, but they don't, and we're going to get into this. This will have its effect upon the heart of the receiver, and will lead him to exalt the standard and pour forth the straight truth. So the testimony is the straight truth. Some will not bear this straight testimony. And this is people in Laodicea. So this is people in the church. This isn't people in the world. And they're not going to bear the straight testimony. They will rise up against it. This is the ones that maybe even led you to the church. This is the evangelists that we love. This is the pastors. This is the people who think they're increased with goods, but then the straight testimony comes, and we're going to find out what the straight testimony is, and they're going to rise up against it. How could this be? And this is what will cause a shaking among God's people. Why? Because they're going to resist it. They're going to rise up against the truth that is given, the straight testimony. And it's who asked them to give it? Jesus. So this isn't something that you just wake up one day and you decide, I think I'm going to give a straight testimony to Laodicea. No, this is something that God has given to his people to give. Now, what is the shaking? Okay, what is this talking about? This is a reference to the harvest process. And I want to emphasize that. Jesus had lots of parables talking about the sower and the seed. And then someone came in at night and he sowed tares in the field. But then all those are bundled up. They're threshed out. And there's a shaking that takes place. A sifting. Now, who's removed? The good wheat or the tares? The tares. In order to reveal just the wheat. Just the whole wheat. Okay. We're going to come back to this thought in a little bit. I saw that the testimony of the true witness has not been half heeded. So Jesus hasn't been half-heeded. The solemn testimony upon which the destiny of the church hangs has been lightly esteemed, if not entirely disregarded. Oh, this is pretty bad. This testimony must work deep repentance. All who truly receive it will obey it and be purified. So there's a message. There's the straight truth that's given, and it's given from Jesus. It's going to be lightly regarded or entirely disregarded. And then it's going to actually require an obedience and a purification process. Sounds like a shaking. Remove the tares, remove the chaff, remove all these things. Now, I'm going to just quickly go to Matthew chapter 13. Go to Matthew 13, because this is actually where some of this is being referred from. Matthew 13 and let's go to verse 29. Matthew 13, 29. And it says, he said unto them, an enemy hath done this. The servant said unto him, wilt thou then that we go? Oh, I've started at verse 28. I'm sorry. Go and gather them up? But he said, nay, lest while ye gather up the tares, ye root up also the wheat with them. So we're going to have the tares growing with the wheat. And these tares are not the obvious weeds. Did you get that? The tares are not the weeds. What are tares? Tares look like wheat. Tares look like the true people. Tares look like the good victor over sin, doing all the right things. But there's a problem, and it's only right at the end, just before the shaking happens, and while the shaking is happening. Let both grow together until the harvest, and in the time of the harvest, I will say to the reapers, gather ye together first the tares and bind them in bundles to burn them, but gather the wheat into my barn. We have the wheat and we have the tares. We have a gathering together, we have a shaking, and there's something that needs to be causing obedience, and it has to do with the truth. Now, those tares over there look like they have a good amount of truth. They have a lot of truth, actually. And they do a great work, especially in the cities. They do evangelism and all these things. They prophesy. But Jesus says, I don't know you. God has a people upon the earth. This is from Testimonies for the Church, Volume 4. God has a people upon the earth who in faith and holy hope are tracing down the role of fast-fulfilling prophecy. What are we talking about? Fast-fulfilling prophecy. And who is the true witness in Revelation? Jesus. And what is Revelation about? Prophecy. And are seeking to purify. Did you catch that? So this true witness, whatever he's talking about in Revelation, is going to cause purification. And then it says here, the fast-fulfilling prophecies are seek to purify their souls by obeying the truth. So purification, obedience to the truth, and prophecy go hand in hand. Wonder if the shaking has something to do with prophecy. That they may not be found without the wedding garment when Christ shall appear. Now we bring in the wedding garment. Okay. Where do we find the wedding garment? Revelation 16, verse 15. Behold, I come as a thief. Blessed is he that watcheth and keepeth his garments, lest he walk naked and they see his shame. Okay, so there's two main points I want to point out here. You have the prophecies that cause purification, obedience to the true witness, proclaiming of these prophecies, and this is the straight testimony, but it's not the prophecies that everybody's talking about. It's obviously some particular ones said in a particular way that cause the tares to be shaken out. Now, there's two points here. Watching and being clothed. Now, in order to watch, you must have what? Eyes. And in order to see through them, they must be clean and they must be clear. Now, you also want the right garments on so you don't walk naked. This is a reference to the Church of Laodicea. And we see here in Revelation 3:17, because thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing and knowest not. So this is the problem. They actually don't know that they don't have the truth. They think they do because they're preaching all these great sermons. That thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind. So they can't watch because they're blind. And they're naked. They don't have the garments. Now, when do they find out that they're blind and naked? When is it? We just read it. Revelation 16? Why is it talking about garments here? This is after the close of probation. But there's something to do with this exact spot in the plagues that reveals if you have actually been watching and if you actually have the garments. We're going to be talking more about this in some of the upcoming studies. We're going to leave this here, but have that start the wheels turning in your mind that it's revealed who has the garments and who's been watching in the sixth plague. Okay, we're going to come back to that. Christian Experience and Teachings, page 107. The mighty shaking has commenced. So has it started? Obviously. It's obviously started. And will go on, and all will be shaken out who are not willing to take a bold and unyielding stand for the truth. We need to be able to stand regardless of what people are doing around us, and to sacrifice for God and his cause. The angel said, think ye that any will be compelled to sacrifice? No, no, it must be a free will offering. It will take all to buy the field. I cried to God to spare his people, some of whom were fainting and dying. Then I saw that the judgments of the Almighty were speedily coming. This is the anger of the Lord. This is the plagues. And I begged of the angel to speak in his language to the people. Said he, now take note, please take note. This is so sad. All of the thunders and lightnings of Mount Sinai would not move those who will not be moved by the plain truths of the Word of God. Neither would an angel's message awaken them. I'm going to read that again. All the thunders and lightnings of Mount Sinai would not move those who will not be moved by the plain truths. And what did Ellen White says the truth made plain was? Write the vision and make the truth plain. Habakkuk 2, verse 2. Neither would an angel's message. So the three angels' message given in their order, the true three angels' messages. If these things, the vision written plainly, and the three angels' messages can't wake them, all the lightnings and thunderings of heaven won't wake them. And the shaking has begun. And we need to be able to see the things that are going to cause this shaking, these truths that she's talking about. Now, Maranatha 2:19. This is a very solemn quote. There is to be in the churches a wonderful manifestation of the power of God. But it will not move upon those who have not humbled themselves before the Lord and opened the door of their heart by confession and repentance. And the manifestation of that power which lightens the earth with the glory of God, what is that? What is this power that lightens the whole earth with the glory of God? Revelation chapter 18. Now you're seeing the connections here. Now you're seeing the shaking, Laodicea, the garments, this harvest time. Now it's bringing us to the fourth angel's message. There's so much connections here. Revelation 18, please go to Revelation 18. Verse 1, and after these things I saw another angel come down from heaven, having great power, and the earth was lightened with his glory. What is light? Truth. The straight truth from the true witness. So this fourth angel's message, as it's being given to Laodicea, it's going to cause a shaking in Laodicea because they're not going to want to accept it. Because this light is going to look like darkness to them, and we're going to see this. They will only see something which in their blindness, because they're Laodicean, they think dangerous. That truth is dangerous. Wow. Something which will arouse their fears. Oh, that's scary. What's he talking about? I don't want anything to do with that. That's scary. and they will brace themselves to resist it. Have mercy. Because the Lord does not work according to their expectations and ideal, they will oppose the work. They're literally going to say, don't listen to them. Don't hear what they're saying. That's not true. This is false. And they're going to oppose the work of God. They're going to oppose the straight testimony from the true witness. And this will cause a shaking. Because you have the Laodiceans on one side and the true people of God on the other. And they're going head to head. And the truth is going to be rubbed. And there's going to be a threshing. There's going to be a shaking. There's going to be a sifting. Why, they say, should we not know the Spirit of God when we have been in the work so many years? Because they did not respond to the warnings, the entreaties of the messages of God, but persistently said, I am rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing. I'm going to read that one line again in the highlight. When we have been in the work so many years. We need to be careful that we don't say this. When we see others say, oh, but this is, why are they bringing in something new? But yet, at the same time, they're talking about our foundations that were laid in 1840 to 44. They're talking about Ellen White's chart that she had a vision of, that she said was prophesied in the Bible, connected to Habakkuk chapter 2. These are new and they're dangerous and they're scary and they arouse my fears, so I'm going to brace to resist it. We can't do this. When God shows the truth is to be established forever as the truth. And when he gave those messages in their order originally, that was the truth. And then the midnight cry came. And Ellen White says that is the light from behind. And if you haven't yet, get the true midnight cry. The True Midnight Cry by Samuel Sheffield Snow, and read his 5 points. She says, this is the light from behind. You can't deny this. You can't deny what is in here. Or else the foundation is false. This is why people will be shaken. Their foundation will be shaken. And they will fall off the platform. Because the straight testimony is coming. The truth through angels' messages is coming. The truth made plain is coming. But this person's saying it's not true. That person's saying it's not true. And they're saying, I've been in the work for so many years, and I've never heard anything like this. Have you heard that before? Testimonies to ministers and gospel workers. When the shaking comes, by the introduction of false theories. So now we have the false theories, the tares, people coming in with these false ideas, these surface readers anchored nowhere are like shifting sand. They slide into any position to suit the tenor of their feelings of bitterness. Daniel and Revelation must be studied. So she's talking about the shaking, false theories, connection to Daniel and Revelation, but then what else? As well as the other prophecies of the Old and New Testaments. So, the shaking is directly connected to prophecy and false prophecy. Spiritual versus literal. We've talked about this many times. Spirit of prophecy has told us that we are to use Miller's rules when studying the Bible. And one of those rules is that there's the literal historical fulfillment of prophecy. Now, there's prophecies in Daniel and Revelation, and those must be studied. But we also must study the prophecies that are in other books. Are you telling me there's prophecies outside of Daniel and Revelation that we need to study right now that have to do with the end of the world? Absolutely. And you're going to see this. Let there be light. Yes, light in your dwellings. For this we need to pray. The Holy Spirit shining upon the sacred page will open our understanding that we may know what is truth. In order for us not to be shaken out, we have to have a true foundation on truth, not on someone's opinions, not on someone's thoughts, not on someone's ideas, because all the people, now, I'm getting ahead of myself. Okay, we're going to continue. Daniel Revelation by Uriah Smith. This is talking in context of when Babylon was fallen, the second angel's message, and what happened to the other churches. And it's strangely similar to what's going to happen in our church. It says a marked change then came over the churches in respect to their spiritual condition. On the hypothesis that the proclamation of the second coming of Christ was in the order of prophetic fulfillment and that the message was the present truth for that time, the result could not have been different. When a person refuses the light, he necessarily shuts himself in darkness. When he rejects truth, he inevitably forges the shackles of error about his own limbs. Loss of spirituality, a moral fall must follow. This the church has experienced. When we brace ourselves against the truth, a moral fall follows. Loss of spirituality, all of these things. Now, I just remembered something, and I apologize, because on a previous study, as I was going through, I misspoke, and it sounded a little confusing. I read a quote where Ellen White said the prophecies that were given were 100% correct, and she's been urged to have new times and new dates. And I made it sound like that was those were good that she's to embrace these times, and that was the opposite, because these were people trying to take her away from the original dates. So that was not a good thing. So go back and you can read the quote in context. So I'm just apologizing for saying that. Some people wrote in the comments, and then I realized how that sounded when I said it, and I misspoke there. Okay, so when this subject first began to be introduced in 1843, the most of the professed nominal churches had closed their doors against the Second Advent doctrine and begun to treat the message with scorn and contempt. Take note, some, however, looked at it more favorably. Until, and this is the exact same thing that's going to happen in our church, until this message was presented in a clear scriptural light. They then withdrew and began stoutly to declare to be the doctrine of the devil. Have you ever heard people say this? Oh, that's the doctrine of the devil. That's Satan's doctrine. But it was something that was part of the foundation of 1840 to 44. It was also something that was part of the true midnight cry. Here's the thing. If we reject truth, when it is given to us, and God can work on people, we're setting ourselves up to receive the mark of Babylon. This was talking about the Babylonian churches, the apostate churches that rejected Miller's message, and they fell. Now, we can do this individually. We set ourselves up to become part of Babylon and fall with Babylon by resisting the truth. The shaking is to cause the Babylonians, the tares, to be sifted out. And unfortunately, those tares look like wheat. They don't look like weeds. We can identify the weeds in the church. Oh, that guy's definitely a weed. This guy's a weed. He looks like a wheat. But maybe he's a tare. Because is he speaking to the law and to the testimony? Is he going against the foundations that we are given? Is he using his own new principles? Are they following books of a new order? If you haven't seen that one, go back to our previous study, Books of a New Order. Are we speaking in line with truth? Or are we changing truth? Because if truth has changed, it's now error, which means that it's not true. Ezekiel 37, 1 to 10. And I realize that we have a lot to cover tonight. So I hope you, if you haven't already, go to judgmentdaydocumentary.com and register. Get the study notes from the page there. You can download these, and then you have all these quotes. We have a lot we're covering tonight. I'm actually only about halfway through. So hopefully some of these other slides are going to go a little bit quicker, and they will. But there's so much important things, and we have to lay the foundation here, because the shaking is going to lead us into the latter rain, the loud cry, the sealing, the judgment of the living, and all these things. So we need a solid foundation. Ezekiel 37, 1 to 10. The hand of the Lord was upon me. Now this is a vision that Ezekiel is going to have. And carried me out in the spirit of the Lord and set me down in the midst of the valley, which was full of bones, and caused me to pass by them round about. And behold, there were very many in the open valley, and lo, they were very dry. If they're dry, how could we make them wet? Maybe a little bit of rain would help with that. And he said unto me, Son of man, can these bones live? And I answered, O Lord, thou knowest. Again he said unto me, what did he say to do? Prophesy upon these bones, and say unto them, O ye dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord God unto these bones, behold, I will cause breath to enter into you, and ye shall live. What causes life? Prophecy. Prophesying to the bones. And what bones are these? These are the Israelite bones. This is the church. This is God's remnant people. This is the Laodicean church that we need to give prophecy to. And it's prophecy that they're not hearing, because if it was the prophecy they're hearing, it would have caused the shaking already. The fact that the shaking is happening because of these theories shows that truth is coming. There is a shaking process happening right now. And I will lay sinews upon you, and will bring upon flesh upon you, and cover you with skin, and put breath in you, and ye shall live, and ye shall know that I am the Lord. So prophesying to them gives them skin, gives them flesh, and lets them know that he is God. Does that sound like one of the angels' messages? Maybe you should go back to Revelation 14, start at verse 6 and read. Verse 7, so I prophesied as I was commanded. Does this sound like the true witness told him to give a straight testimony that was about prophecy that would purify these bones and make them wet? So I prophesied as I was commanded. And as I prophesied, there was a noise. What is this noise? I'm sure it was a loud noise. And behold, a shaking. A shaking. So the preaching of prophecy to the bones, to Laodicea, caused a shaking. And the bones came together, bone to his bone. And when I beheld, lo, the sinews and the flesh came upon them, and the skin covered them above, and there was no breath in them. And they said unto me, prophesy unto the wind. Oh, there's so much here. We're going to be coming back to this in some of the future studies. Prophesy unto the wind. Prophesy, son of man, and say unto the wind, thus said the Lord God, come from the four winds. O breath, and breathe upon these slain that they may live. They're so asleep, they're dead. That's how asleep these virgins are, these Laodiceans. So I prophesied as he commanded me, and the breath came unto them, into them, and they lived and stood upon their feet, an exceeding great army. Speaking the prophecies with a loud voice. If you want to wake someone, if they're dead, got to be pretty loud. When they're sleeping, you speak to them in a loud voice and you shake them awake, because there is something that is coming that it needs to be, they need to be warned about. It says the great dreadful day of the Lord is coming. And this is part of that shaking message. Why would we have to be worried about the plagues? We're the church. We know the plagues. We're going to be sealed before then. There must be some prophecies that are not being understood. Maybe something to do with the four winds. Well, it is to do with the four winds. Ezekiel is saying so. So we're going to get back to that in another study. Now, latter rain. What is the latter rain? Sometimes we just think of this as the Holy Spirit's going to come down, just fill us, and we're going to be preaching, and we're going to be teaching, and we're going to be prophesying, and all these things. Well, let's see. What causes the rain? And again, if any of you have questions, this is a live Bible study. Have your Bibles with you. If you have any questions, put them in the live chat, and we're going to get through as many of your questions as we possibly can. And go to judgmentdaydocumentary.com. I highly recommend you register so that you can stay up to date with the studies and with the process of the documentary project. And if you'd like to help with things like the documentary, maybe you're an editor, maybe you're a videographer, maybe you're, you know, maybe you have sales experience, maybe you have client relations experience and can take phone calls, maybe whatever it is. Let us know. We are always looking for team members who have a passion for the truth and are willing to stand though the heavens fall and give that straight testimony. Deuteronomy 11:14. Then that I will give you the rain in your land in his due season, the first rain and the latter rain. What rain are we waiting for? The latter rain, that thou mayest gather in thy corn and thy wine and thine oil. Isn't that what we're looking for now? We need the harvest. We need the doctrine and we need the Holy Spirit. And what's going to help with that? The latter rain. The latter rain is going to help with this. Jeremiah 5:24. Neither say they in their heart, let us now fear the Lord our God and giveth rain, both the former rain and the latter. In his season, he reserveth unto us the appointed weeks of the harvest. So what does the latter rain do? It is to prepare for the harvest. So we have the latter rain that ripens the harvest. Then you harvest, you shake it out. So the latter rain and the shaking have to do with each other. Well, this is getting interesting now. Joel 2, verse 23. Be glad then, you children of Zion, and rejoice in the Lord your God, for he hath given you the former rain moderately, and he will cause to come down for you the rain, the former rain, and the latter rain in the first month. Now, this is one of those books outside of Daniel and Revelation that is prophecies for right now. Joel is an incredible book of prophecy. Absolutely amazing. It's, I think, probably my favorite book in the Bible. One of my favorite. Definitely top three. We're not going to go through all of Joel, but I just want you to see this. Joel 2, 2 to 4. Actually, it's 1 to 4. I added the first verse. Blow ye the trumpet in Zion, and sound an alarm in my holy mountain. Let all the inhabitants of the land tremble, for the day of the Lord cometh, for it is nigh at hand. The day of the Lord. What is the day of the Lord? Well, let's see. Brings us back to Revelation 16 again. For they are the spirits of devils, working miracles, which go forth unto the kings of the earth, and that the whole world to gather them to the battle of that great day of God Almighty. And there we see about the garments again. So there's something to do with the battle of Armageddon, the sixth plague, the day of God. Joel talks about it. The shaking, preparing for the time of the plagues, the latter rain is going to come for the to ripen the harvest of the wheat. So what is the rain? We need to know what the rain is. We know what it's doing now. And what is it? What is it? Deuteronomy 32:2. My doctrine shall drop as the rain. My speech shall distill as the dew, as the small rain upon the tender herb, and as the showers upon the grass. What was the shaking caused by? False theories. And the truth being given to the people and them not being able to handle it. The terrors seeing it and they resisting it. And then they're literally prophesying against it, saying, that is dangerous, that is error, get that away from me. And this all has to do with the ripening of the wheat and the harvest. The rain is coming. Doctrine is coming. The prophecies are coming. This is not any doctrine. This is the prophecies because it's coming from the true witness. This is the latter rain, the outpouring of the true prophetic movements of the end of the world. And what happened to them? They were buried in rubbish. If you haven't, go to early writings and look up Miller's dream. There's a whole chapter, Miller's dream. It's absolutely amazing. Amazing, amazing. We have this chest and it has jewels inside. And these jewels are the truth. Some are small, some are very large. And they were scattered amongst rubbish. This is what Satan did. And he brought in false jewels, false prophecies about the end times. Oh, we're not going to stick with what, the church was founded on. What Ellen White said was truth. She says the Eastern question was truth, but we're not going to believe that. We believe that the King of the North is something else than what was original. We don't believe in the messages of 1840 to 44. We don't believe in the true midnight cry. We don't believe in the true three angels' messages, the truth made plain. We don't believe in the three angels' messages because we say, oh, these charts that Ellen White was talking about, that was nonsense. And some of that comes because people don't know that it was from Ellen White. They think it was just some pioneer who had some harebrained idea. But she says the first two messages were on the 1843 chart, and the third messages was made plain on the 1850 chart, which she had a vision and described even what should be on that chart. That doctrine was put aside. New theories, books of a new order were written. We changed from the literal understanding of prophecy to a spiritual understanding of prophecy. We changed Daniel 11 from what it was to what it is today. We've changed Revelation 9. We've changed the woes. We've changed the trumpets. We've changed all these things. We've changed the plagues, the Battle of Armageddon, etc. Which I told you, we're getting to the Battle of Armageddon, and it's going to be in a couple studies from now. The shaking is caused by these false theories, and the work that these terrorists have done are so detrimental. But they're going to, unfortunately, have convinced people when the truth comes, it's going to wash them away. Because what does the rain bring? A flood. And if you're not having your house on the rock, built on the foundation, Ellen White says, those messages of 1840 to 44 are as the rock of ages. If our faith isn't based on the rock of ages, truths that came from the true witness, we'll be swept away by the doctrine. Because when the doctrine hits us, we're going to resist it. We're not going to hold fast. We're going to be shaken out. And that doesn't mean we're going to leave the church building. That means we're going to leave the truth. That's what that means. When bright lights go out, when Ellen White says bright lights will go out, it doesn't mean they're going to not be in the church anymore. They're going to be totally directly opposed to all truth. No, they're going to be those who Jesus says, I didn't know you, but they still prophesied. They're Laodicean. They are increased with goods. They're rich. First Timothy 4, verse 1. Now the Spirit speaketh expressly in the latter times. Some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. Here's the funny thing. We just read that the people who reject the truth tell the truth is the doctrines of devils, but they're the ones who are receiving doctrines of devils. And what is spiritualization of the scripture but spiritualism? Doctrines of devils. And we're going to get into this in a whole series about the Alpha and the Omega. What is the Alpha and the Omega? And is it here? It says, the latter times departeth from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. This latter rain is going to come. And either you're going to be watered, and you're going to be ripe for the harvest, and you're going to receive the truth with gladness, or you're going to brace yourselves against it, and you're going to be washed away. Maranatha 28.3. In the absence of persecution, there have drifted into our ranks some who appear sound. They appear sound. And their Christianity, unquestionable. But who, if persecution should arise, would go out from us? In the crisis. Now, keep that in the back of your mind. What is the crisis? They would see force in specious reasoning that has an influence on their minds. Satan has prepared various snares to meet varied minds. When the law of God is made void. So here we talked about the crisis, now the law of God making void. These are the same thing. The church will be sifted. What are we talking about? The shaking, the sifting, the threshing, the separation. Polarization. Could we call it fighting? In the church, militant? Sifted by fiery trials and a larger proportion than we now anticipate, a larger portion than we now anticipate will give heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. And we're seeing this. And they think they're the true Adventists. They think they're going to be the 144,000. They think they're going to give the loud cry. But they're denying the straight testimony of the true witness. Instead of being strengthened, when brought into straight places, many prove that they are not living branches of the true vine. Here's the thing. We can preach it. And like we read at the start of the study, these people are going to claim to have the last message, but are they getting ready? It says, get ready, get ready, get ready. Are we ready? Are we ready spiritually? Are we starting our Bible? Are we rejecting the original foundation that we were given, the original platform? Are we getting physically ready? Are we getting our country properties ready? Now, some will say, oh, but we're told that, you know, not to prepare for the time of trouble. This is not talking about the Sunday law. This is talking about the time of Jacob's trouble. And you can fact check me on that one. We're going to get into that in some other videos. And we're going to go through the timeline of when we have to prepare. And then when we're going to flee into the mountains. When the law of God is made void, the church will be sifted. I was pointed to the providence of God among his people and was shown that every trial made by the refining, purifying process upon professed Christians proves some to be dross. The fine gold does not always appear. In every religious crisis, some fall under temptation. The shaking of God blows away multitudes like dry leaves. She says more than we can anticipate. It says the shaking is going to blow multitudes like dry leaves. Prosperity multiplies a mass of professors. Adversity purges them out of the church. As a class, their spirits are not steadfast with God. They go out from us because they are not of us. For when tribulation or persecution arise, because of the word, Jesus' word, because of the truth, many are offended. there must be no neglect of the grace represented by the former rain. Only those who are living upon the light that they have will receive greater light. When God shows you these truths, shows you the foundation, 1840 to 44, all these messages from 1840 to 44 need to be made forcible now. You can search that quote. We've talked about it in these studies. When God shows you the light, what light? What was the light from behind? Ellen White says it was the midnight cry. Unless we are daily advancing in exemplification of the active Christian virtues, we shall not recognize the manifestation of the Holy Spirit in the latter rain. Look, people think the Holy Spirit is the latter rain, but it says the Holy Spirit is manifested in the latter rain. Why? Because it's the doctrine. It's the prophecies, the true prophecies of the last day events that people aren't talking about. And when they do come, when they do cause a shaking amongst God's people, the Holy Spirit comes with those truths and it makes us understand those truths and embrace the truths so we can be sealed into the truth so we cannot be shaken. Because everything that can be shaken will be shaken, and that which remains will not be shaken. I want to go to some Bible verses here and then we'll come back to this quote. Let's go to, let's see here. Revelation chapter 6, Revelation 6, verse 13. And the stars of heaven fell unto the earth, even as a fig tree casteth her untimely figs when she is shaken of a mighty wind. So what's going to help in the shaking? The wind. Matthew chapter 11 and verse 7. Matthew 11, 7. And as they departed, Jesus began to say unto the multitudes concerning John, what went ye out in the wilderness to see? A reed shaken with the wind? The wind is going to help cause the shaking amongst God's people to sift out those who do not belong. We're not going to be aiding and giving the fourth angel's message. Ezekiel 37, there was a great shaking, and it was prophesying against the winds, the four winds. There's a connection to the winds bringing the shaking, and a true understanding of what these four winds are is critical. We're going to get to this. Turn to Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 27. Hebrews 12 and verse 27. And this word, yet once more, signifieth the removing of those things that are shaken. As of the things that are made, that those things which cannot be shaken may remain. There is a shaking. And in everything that can be shaken will be shaken. When you take your pocket and you're trying to find something and you pull it out and you just shake it, you're trying to throw something out. When the grain is shaken, you're trying to get rid of things. And those that can't be shaken out, because they're the real whole wheat, that will remain. Let's go back to the final quote again. The Holy Spirit in the latter rain. It may be falling on hearts all around us. The truth will be coming. That truth, the foundations of many generations. But we shall not discern or receive it because we are miserable and poor and blind and naked. When the rain comes, we need to make sure the truths that we have anchored to are the ones that were the same truths that laid the foundation in 1840s to 44. They're the same foundation the same principles that built the foundation, the same prophecies. And those true understanding of these prophecies about these final events, which is exactly what we're going to talk about in the next study, when is this going to be manifested? When is the judgment of the living started? When has the latter rain began to be really poured out? The sprinkling started years ago. But when did the outpouring really begin? We're going to see this. And these things, these messages will cause a shaking. They will cause a division. The cleaver of truth will divide the people. God's message needs to shake those out who are not going to be beneficial to the final work of giving the loud cry and the fourth angel's message. We must pray and study to show ourselves approved. We must look back and not deny the foundations. We need to not deny these prophecies, or we won't even be able to discern the latter rain is falling. We'll see people receiving it, but we'll think it's dangerous. We'll see the truth coming, but we'll say it's false. Don't believe them. That's not SDA doctrine. Or is it? Maybe their new theories is what is not SDA doctrine. Maybe it comes from books of a new order. Maybe it's spiritualizing the scriptures. We need to be mounted on the solid rock. There is very troublous times coming. And when the rain comes, we need to be soaking the rain in as fast as it is pouring, or we're going to be washed away. May God make us ready, make his people ready, so that we can give the final warning message to the world. Don't miss the next two studies. It's going to be at least two. I think it will just be two. We're going to be talking about when the judgment of the living is starting, the sealing is starting, and what the Battle of Armageddon is, and how this connection to Ezekiel 37 is, and the connection to the garments in the sixth plague. All these things. This shaking is going to shake everything. May we hold fast to the truth. Amen. Now we will be switching gears a little bit and taking some questions. Thank you, everyone, for joining in the study. These are such incredible times we are living in, and so privileged. It seems fearful, but we don't need to be fearing, because God tells us ahead of time, and he will protect as long as we are obedient and purified. Okay. Going to take some questions. Connie Smith. This is an interesting question. So this is what is going on with the Michigan Conference part of the shaking? And if it is, how are we to handle this situation? I believe that when it comes to a lot of these issues that are happening in the church, we have to ask the question. Now, I'm not going to make any statements about this, but we need to ask the question, what is at stake? What is happening? What truth is being removed? We need to realize that we're each given a position to accept truth or reject truth. And God gives different people different opportunities at different times. And then he gives you re-opportunities because you rejected it the first time. Absolutely. Everything is going to be shaken. So is it part of the shaking? Absolutely, it's part of the shaking. Whenever we have a conflict in the church where we have division, it's part of the shaking. Now, not talking about this. In other contexts, you can literally have two opposing parties and it's part of the shaking, but neither is the truth. You can have that too. You can have error and error. And it's just two theological mindsets going up against each other. These theological powerhouses, professors, evangelists, pastors, and neither outcome is right. this is part of the deception of Satan, because everything that God does, Satan does. And when Ellen White said there's to be a wonderful manifestation of the power of God, there's also going to be a manifestation of Satan. And he is going to show, and we talked about this in the couple past episodes, he's going to say that there needs to be this reformation in the church, and it's going to consist of giving up the foundations, giving up those truths, giving up the plain truths made plain upon tables. So we have this situation right now that there's so much happening in the church. There's so much happening, and we need to be really careful not to get caught up on one thing. But we need to realize that there is so many issues, and we need to stand for the right. Absolutely, we have to stand for the right. And unfortunately, there was some wrong done. Some big wrong by big people. And that's between them and God. God is going to be the one who completes the shaking process. We give the straight testimony, and God does the sifting. God does the shaking. Absolutely, these things, all these things are part of the shaking that's happening right now. Be firm on the rock. That is how we deal with these situations. And run to your Bible. And run to those who had the experience of the first messages. Because if we're going to give the final message, what is the final message? Focus on that. Focus on the truth. Stand for the right, though the heavens fall. Rick Vargas, question. Is salvation for the world or only the elect? Are the elect literally the seed line of Jacob? Very fascinating question. There's some people who believe, yes, that literally the 144,000 from the tribes of Jacob, from the tribes of Israel, are actually in the lineage of Israel. This could be. I'm not making any direct statements towards that. But here's the thing. Is salvation for the world or only the elect? Salvation's for both. But there is a timeline that shifts. The people who are the elect, the people who are God's people, who are the true church, who know the message, are judged first. So judgment of the living begins at them, and it begins at the old man at the house of God. Begins at the top, leadership. And then it goes down to the people. And then it goes from the judgment of the living, God's church, to the world. To the multitudes of the world. So we have a process that switches, and we're going to be covering a little bit of this in some of the upcoming studies. SDA Foundational Truths, 1840 to 44. Question, you mentioned the judgment of the living. Isn't there a statement in the SOP saying that we do not know when the judgment shifts from the dead to the living? I have never heard a statement that says we do not know when the judgment shifts from the dead to the living. If anybody has that, let me know. But you're going to see that there are some quotes that actually say when the judgment shifts from the dead to the living. Now, we can't predict when it'll happen. If maybe that's what you're referring to. No, we cannot predict forward when that will happen because there's no time prophecies after 1844. Time is no longer. There's no 2027, 2030, 2031, 33, et cetera, et cetera. We can't be setting any of these dates because time is no longer. Now, when an event takes place, we know what's happening. If we see plagues falling, if we see these things happening, we know the plagues are falling. So we can say, okay, check mark. That's that event. So we need to see, is there any events connected to the judgment of the living starting? And if there is, and that event takes place, then we know it has begun. RW, question. How can the name of the beast be the Pope if the 1850 chart states that the name is on the lamb-like beast horns? I love this question. Okay, I'm doing an entire, it might be more than one presentation. It's probably going to be a short series. Really soon, in the next couple weeks here on exactly some of the things that he's asking here. Of the beast of the Pope, if the 1850 chart states that the name of the lamb-like beast horns, this is a rift in the church. What is 666 broken down as per the chart? Okay, I'm going to share my screen in a minute. I'm going to pull up the chart. I'll give you guys a teaser. This is amazing stuff. If you haven't yet looked at the 1850 chart, Ellen White's chart, we did a whole presentation on Ellen White's chart. It's called Ellen White's Chart, Judgment Day Study. Go to the Judgment Day website and download. We have the high resolution of the original 1850 chart. Go download that and take a look at it. Amazing, amazing stuff. Okay. We're going to open up here the 1850 chart. Okay. So this is the 1850 chart, known as the 1850 chart. This is Ellen White's chart that she received in vision. Maybe you didn't know Ellen White had a chart, but here it is. And if you want to download it, go to judgmentdaydocumentary.com and you can download it. Okay, what this person is referring to is down here. Now, I'm going to start a little bit up. Papal Rome, we all know this. This is Revelation 13. And it says here that there's a leopard-like beast that comes out of the sea, seven heads and 10 horns. And this is Papal Rome. Now, if we go down, we have this really weird-looking beast. It's leopard. It's got lion's mane. It's got this weird face on it. And it's called the image of the papacy. And this is in reference to Revelation 13, 11 to 17. And I beheld a beast coming up out of the earth with two horns, like a lamb. This is talking about the beast with lamb-like horns. This, we know, is America. Why did they depict it like this? I always wondered, why did they do this? Why not a buffalo or, you know, something like this? So look here. I'm not going to get into all the details, but it's amazing stuff. The two lamb-like horns, Republicanism and Protestantism, whose names number 666, become united in action, speak like a dragon, and control the civil legislature, and cause it to make a church the image of the papacy, which received a deadly wound and was healed. So, how can this beast have 666 be its number if this beast up here's number is 666? Well, the secret is actually no secret at all. Go to Revelation 13, okay? Open Revelation 13. Here's the problem. We overcomplicate the Bible. We don't read it as it's literally written. We add so many things and make it too complicated. We need to just read it like little children. So we have this very strange image of the papacy beast here. And Ellen White received a vision and she wrote about this beast and said that's exactly how God showed her it should be drawn. Okay. Revelation 13, verse 11. And I beheld another beast coming up out of the earth, and he had two horns like a lamb, and he spake as a dragon. That's why he has a dragon's mouth, because he's speaking like a dragon. And his tongue looks like the tail of a serpent. And he exercises all the power of the first beast. Okay, very big clue. He's going to act exactly like the first beast. And he's going to have all the same power. We don't even get into this today. Okay. Now we're going to jump down because we don't have time to cover all this today. We're going to be wrapping up here. Verse 14. Revelation 13 and verse 14. And deceiveth them that dwell on the earth by the means of those miracles which he had power to do in the sight of the beast, saying to them that dwell on the earth that they should make an image to the beast, which had a wound by a sword and did live. So we have this beast And then that beast is going to make an image to the first beast. Now, when you make an image of something, does it look nothing like it, or does it look a lot like it? It looks a lot like it. Now, look at this again. This first beast is a leopard-like beast with bare feet and a lion's mane. The image, which should look like it, is a leopard beast with bare feet and a lion's mane. The difference is this one speaks like a dragon. That's the only difference. But it's the image of the beast, and it's also representing the daughters. And this is representing the mothers. Doesn't this one look more formidable, more mature, more majestic? And this one looks kind of young. You know, it looks younger, smaller. It's got, you know, tinier legs and smaller feet. It looks like a little bit of a daughter, kind of an ugly daughter, but, you know, it's a daughter. When we go to Revelation 17 now, I'm getting ahead of myself. This is so exciting. We're working on this right now. I've already have a lot of the slides put together, but it's going to be an incredible, incredible study about the final events that are going to happen in the world. Revelation 17. Go down to verse 5, and it says, "And upon her forehead was a name written, Mystery Babylon the Great, the mother of harlots." So we have the mother of harlots, and then we have the daughters. Now the daughters, back to Revelation 13, represented by this beast with two lamb-like horns, which is Protestant America, is going to make an image to the beast. And I think that's all I will say here. Why can it have the same number? Because it's exactly acting like the mother. It's doing all the same things. It has all the same power, all the same name. All the same actions are happening in this beast that happened in that beast. And that's something that we have not even fully accepted as Seventh-day Adventists when we talk about Sunday law, that the exact same process that the papacy did, America's going to do. This is going to be very interesting coming soon, and very serious times that we're living in. So thank you so much. I think we're going to wrap it up here now for the evening, but please go back and reread a lot of the verses. If this is your first time, go back to the first episode and start. I know it might seem like a lot, but you're missing a huge portion if you haven't seen the first parts. And it's not because I'm saying it. I'm not saying anything here. I'm only showing what was given. I'm showing what Ellen White said. I'm showing what the Bible's saying. I'm showing the three angels' messages as it was given initially. I'm not saying anything. This isn't Mackenzie's or Amazing Discovery's opinion. We're not saying any of this. It's purely the straight testimony from the true witness. Go check it out. Download the studies. Download the study notes. Download the charts. They're there. We're going to do an entire series just on charts because there's so much confusion about all the different charts that are going around. Some are good, some are not. Which ones are good, which ones are not. So we're going to do an entire study series just on the different charts. Don't miss next week's study. We're getting to when the judgment of the living will start. When is it? What's the sealing? The loud cry? The fourth angel's message? How does this all tie together? Make sure that your foundation is on the Rock of Ages and the true messages that the Rock of Ages gave us as our foundation. And then when the rain comes, you can just absorb it and not be washed away. and be ripe for the harvest, and to help give that final message to the world. How much greater privilege is it that we can give this final message and final warning to the world? Thank you all for being here. Praise God that you're able to join us. Get into your Bibles. If you haven't already, get the True Midnight Cry booklet. I believe we have it online. You can get it online. You can also get the physical copy if you contact us. Make sure you get yourselves Miller's Rules bookmark, and also the Bible Symbols bookmark. These are incredible resources that will help you in your Bible study. We talked about this a couple times now. Get yourself the Exposing Deceptions in Daniel Revelation. You can get this for free. PDF on our website, Exposing Deceptions on Daniel and the Revelation. You can get from Amazing Discoveries. If you're wondering where to get this, we do have these. Daniel and Revelation, the 1897 edition. Not the ones that were changed and modified and made into a book of a new order almost. The original one that Ellen White was referring to in the booklet. And if you want to know history, pick yourself up Waymarks and High Heaps by Joseph Bates. This is another booklet that we started reprinting. And we're told that the people who have died before need to have their works live on and their messages live on in the reprinting. And this is how we gain the experience, because I wasn't alive when the three angels' message was initially being given. So we need to go back to them to get that experience. Thank you, everyone. God bless. Have a good Sabbath and have a good night. And we'll see you next week.